Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
You found the place for up close and personal interviews with your favorite country stars. This is In the Country, hosted by Dave Wood. Stay tuned for great stories and great music. Now live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to the show.
Calgary's Joe Hick is made up of brothers Kelly and Kenny Sitter, as well as Don Jorgensen and Al Dole. Their debut CD, Ride, from 2008, delivered several popular radio singles, including My Kind of Radio and their version of Sweet City Woman. They're back with a brand new CD entitled The Game, which features their latest single, With a Smile Like That. Joining me on the show today from Joe Hick is Kelly Sitter. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you here, and I've been listening to the new CD, and there's so many great songs on it, great ballads, great up-tempo. It must be fun to put together a CD that's got that kind of mixture, the fun up-tempo songs and the heart-touching ballads.
Yeah, it's a lot different from our first CD. The first CD kind of was more of a, you know, kind of a harder rocking type of CD, and this CD's kind of more softer, a little bit more me. I like to say the first one was more my brother and this one is more me. So yeah, it's
right.
Fun.
And I guess that's so true when you've got a band, and in this case, two of you being brothers, but all of you, there's going to be different interests and different, I guess, likes of music. So I guess it's kind of a challenge to get everybody on the same page.
So yeah, we have a tough time because we're brothers. A lot of people would automatically assume that there's a writing chemistry or that kind of stuff. You know, we've been playing together since we were like 4 and 5 years old, and you know, our styles and our music interests are absolutely black and white, you know, one end to the other. And so therefore, I guess when we do write together, there is a lot of you know, yes and no, and a lot of wasted time in stuff that we don't, you know, that he likes and I'm not liking, and I'm liking and he's not liking. And so we've kind of come to a happy medium where we both just kind of agreed to, you know what, maybe we should just do this either alone or with other people, because it's just, you know, we have wrote songs before together, and they're usually not bad and they're usually pretty good, but it's just painstaking, to tell you the truth. And Kenny seems to do really well with other writers, and me, you know, I'm one of those types of guys that, you know, as much as I appreciate people that write songs and this and that, it's more of a personal thing for me, and I don't really like to, you know, when I'm sitting down with a guitar, I'm not really interested in having somebody tell me, you know, what I like. And it's
right.
got nothing to do with writers and stuff. I'm just, it's like Paul McCartney, you know, he wrote for years and years with John Lennon. And obviously they wrote many, many good songs together. And then, but when John Lennon died, he started writing alone. And, you know, he said he liked writing alone better, even though his songs weren't as popular as what the Beatles had wrote. But
yeah,
he would stay true to himself and wrote his way and his style. And obviously, you know, he wrote some pretty good songs himself too. So that's just kind of how we work. And with the other guys in the band, I always invite them to write with me, or Kenny invites them to write with them, and they can write with each other. But they're just, you know, Don likes to do a lot of writing. Al, he's more the, Al's a true blue, like, musician. He's one of those guys that, you know, you can, he's not, his heart's really not into writing, but he really likes to play, and he's a talented cat.
Right. Now, on the CD, as far as the writing goes, there's three outside songs, and then the rest are stuff that the band members have had a hand in co-writing. To choose the outside songs, were you trying to throw in some outside ones, or were they so good that you sort of had to put them on?
You know what? Again, it's one of those things where you just gotta. It's so hard it's so much easier to be a writer and just write your own songs, put them down on disc, and get them out to the people. When you're picking songs from other writers, you know, because we're not, we're not the most famous band in Canada, and it's hard to get that top drawer stuff from the big writers who want to give their,
sure,
their really good tunes to Johnny Reed or Doc Walker or even American People. And so for us,
right,
once you hear, you know, I could tell you, I sit for hours mulling over songs, and I don't even know what's good and what's bad nowadays, you know, after listening to 50 songs. But I basically just pick the, you know, I'll get 100 songs, and I'll dwindle it down to 50, down to 20, down to 10, down to 5, and then I'll take the top 5, and whether I'm right or wrong, who knows, you know. And of course, I got my family at home that is absolutely sick and tired of listening to music all day long with me and trying to pick what good songs are. I actually go down to my 4-year-old daughter at times and just, I play a song around the house and just watch her reaction to, so that's how we did Sweet City Woman, was I had about six different songs that I was going to like cover songs that I was going to do. And,
yeah,
and basically what I did was I just learned all 6 of them on my acoustic guitar, and strapped it on and just started walking around the house for about a day and a half, 2 days, and just watched my little daughter. And every time I started playing the intro to Sweet City Woman on the guitar, she'd always, "Hey," so obviously that's the one we got to do.
That's a good sign.
It's a good sign.
Definitely. Now, what about some of those other cover songs then? What are the ones that you guys do in concert, and can you share which other ones almost came to be as far as on the album or future albums?
Like
popular
just
covers,
general cover tunes?
Yeah.
Let me think. You know, there's so many. Like my brother, he was really into that Miles Will Go for a Soda by Kim Mitchell, and I really
right.
like that song too. It's a little bit out of my range, and even if we change the key in it, it's still a bit out of my range. I'm a country singer, right? I sing high too, but you got to be careful with the words that you're singing, because you know when you're a singer, you know there's a lot of people that can sing a certain words in songs, and you have to be careful not to pick songs that you struggle like that song we got with the smile like that. That was written
right.
by Troy Kokel and Aaron Goodvin and my brother Ken. And I love the song. It's a beautiful song. It's got nice lyrics and everything in it. But that one word, smile, you try to sing that. Like, it's just one of those words that
it's really
tough word to sing. Like, smile. It's really hard to sing that word. So I was almost like, no, I don't want to do this song because I can't really properly sing that one word, which is a huge
right.
word in the song.
Exactly.
You know, but because the guys loved it so much, and I loved it too until I started singing it, and then I started getting frustrated with it because I just wanted to sing that one word on key all the time
right.
and put some emotion into it. But I tell you, it's one of those things where it's really tough to get that every single time. I've practiced it for hours and months. I finally got it now, and I'm okay with it. But I tell you. Cover tunes that we do, you know, I didn't want to do Go For a Soda because it was out of my range. There were some words in there that I didn't like to sing. What else did we get? We had some old Electric Light Orchestra stuff we were going to redo.
Yep.
Oh, man, the list goes on. I can't even. A Three Dog Night, Shambhala, we were going to do that
oh, yeah.
one. Oh, man, there's so many tunes. And there's
great
so many
garden.
Great tunes that you can do. It's... You know,
yeah.
it all came down to, you know, Sweet City Woman, because we're from Calgary, and the guys that did that song, they're not originally, they're from Sudbury, but, you know, they recorded it in Calgary, and they're Calgary guys, and we know them, and so it was kind of a no-brainer for us.
Very cool. Now, on this CD, you hooked up with Bob Foster to co-produce it, and he is known for producing Jan Arden. What was it like working with him and putting the CD together?
You know, Bob is one of those, I guess I'd start off with how the to do a CD, you got to pick the right people to help you out with that. And our first CD, we used George Canyon and some other people in there. And George is a great, great producer, great entertainer, great musician. He's just a really talented cat all the way around. But I wasn't real big, you know, we didn't know each other really, really well. I didn't know the people that were doing that CD with us really, really well. And
yep.
this is a pretty big family band, and you know, I got my mom's involved and my parents are involved and my kids, of course, and everybody's got their say when you have such a huge family like I do. And so Bob was the guy that played piano for my mom and dad, you know, back in the late 70s all the way up to the mid 90s.
Oh, wow.
And so he's been a family friend since I was, you know, 5 years old. And so he's very comfortable to be around for me. And everybody that we brought in to do this last album was pretty much, I'm not going to say they were the best choice, because for me they were the best choice. We could have got some really, really, really good Nashville guys in there to do it. But, of course, we're not those kind of guys, you know. We definitely like having a, you know, a relaxed, let's just have fun doing this and see what comes out of it. You know, whether it was the right idea or not, it doesn't really bug me, because I really enjoy having people around me that understand what the band is and hears. And, you know, a lot of the people that we had in our first album, they've never even heard our band before. And they,
right.
You know, so it's kind of hard to tell them, you know, well, this is the band we are. Like, my brother plays guitar like Eddie Van Halen, and I sing like, George Strait or some low, you know, you don't hear the George Strait on the album, but I'm a country guy. And my brother's a rock guy, and the guys in Nashville didn't really know that, and so the guitars were different and this and that. So bringing in the new whole new team of people to do the second album, it was important for me that way, for sure, just to get more comfortable and get them to understand who Joe Hick really is. And that second album definitely is more Joe Hick than the first album, for sure. Mind you, we wrote most of the songs on it. Well, Ken did anyway.
Yeah, the toughest thing must be to work with people who don't know your sound and your style and are trying to make you, whether purposefully or not, make you into a different sound, because you've got to be yourselves, and that's the only way you're going to succeed and
right.
Do so comfortably.
Right. Well, you know, it's tough too, because once you actually try, like it's we've been together, like Joe Hick has only been together for 5 years. The name has been together 5 years, but the guys in the band, we've been together since 96, like 15 years close to, or a little more maybe.
Yeah.
And we probably found our sound four or five different times in that span of time. And
right.
It changes all as you get older. It's like your personality, right? You're never the same.
Yep.
Every 10 years, you're kind of different, but
reinvent yourself. Yep.
Yeah. And you know, we do reinvent ourselves, but trying to find that sound that you want, I don't think we've found it yet. You know what I mean? I really don't think, and I don't know if we ever will find it. So that's kind of fun, and maybe that's why we've been together for so long. And you know what I'm saying? It's funny, my brother and myself being together for so long, we do actually have a sound, but it changes. That sound gets fumbled back and forth, because the three, like me and Ken and the drummer Al, we've been together so long, and then Don's been with us for about 3 years. But the three of us, you know, we just go back and forth on what we're doing, and I think the next, like our third album, is going to be even crazier. I think it's going to be a blend of what, and that's the kind of guys we are. We're just going to do whatever makes us happy and whatever makes us want to play the music, right? And
right.
I think we're learning that as we go along, because we're such bar guys. We've been playing in the bars for so long and doing cover songs and playing stuff like that. So it's kind of hard for us right now to really, okay, well, what's our sound? What do we want to write? And we can never really, really come to a conclusion, the three of us, on what we should really do. But I think we're learning as we've really only been an original band for 5 years, since Joe Hick. And so we're working on what we're going to do. And that's just honest, right? We're going to change it again. And,
yep.
You know, we might even go on the rock side of things, you know, like in the hard rock, or even go on to the blues side of things. Because we play, you know, we've been playing together so long, we've got jazz songs, we've got rock songs, we've got heavy metal songs, we've got old country songs from the 30s. We've got,
right,
you know, big band songs. We, you know, we could throw some horn players in this band and nobody would even know, because we do that kind of music too. We play ska, you know. We're a really versatile band that's just kind of doing country right now, because the singer is a country singer. But our drummer, Al, he's a fantastic just kind of R&B rock singer, a really good singer. So I want to feature some of his vocals on the next album for sure, because we're, you know, that's just the way I feel, you know, about
pretty,
these three guys.
Yeah, pretty diverse sound. Now the live shows must be quite something. That's got to be quite a crowd pleaser with the mixture of stuff and just the energy you guys bring to a show.
Oh, for sure. It's our live shows are where all the fun is. You know, I like to joke sometimes thinking, because we all play the music. You know, I don't just sit there with my acoustic guitar and
right.
play along. I'm the bass player, so I'm a big part of the band. And the guitar player, Ken, and myself, we're just so different musically, except we're the same because we're brothers. We understand
yep.
each other. But he goes off on tangents all the time, right in the middle of we don't even know what he's going to do next. And then the drummer, Al, the guy can sing like Sammy Hagar from Eddie Van Halen. Like, he can sing like I love that kind of singing. And then, of course, Don, he's the guy that keeps us all, he's the glue kind of that keeps the three of us from just going off in our own little worlds half the time. That's a good thing.
You got to have one of those guys in a group, right, to keep everybody
sure,
in line.
Yep.
Yeah. Now let's turn to the music from the CD, Kelly, and it's actually a song that you wrote by yourself. The title track was the one I chose to play first, called The Game. It's a great, kind of a story song with a message, terrific writing and well done all together. Do you want to talk about the inspiration behind the song, and then we'll share it with everybody?
Well, that's the only song that I wrote that I actually recorded for Joe Hick, but I've probably got, you know, 200 or 300 songs that I just won't let go on that album. But that song was just about my grandpa. It's pretty much what the lyrics say is what it is. You know, it's a true
yep.
story. You know, my brother and I, and this happens to so many people out there. So it's definitely, you know, something that people can relate to. It's you go to your grandparents' house and you know, your grandpa's sitting in his old chair smoking away, and it's, you know, he's got his beer beside him, and then grandma's making sandwiches for snacks, and it's time for bed, and then he gives you your story, and he tells you stories, and you know, he died when I was 17, and I just, you know, he was a big part of it. I got lots of cousins and lots of big family here, and when I wrote that song, everybody was really appreciative, and nobody wrote a song for my grandpa ever, and so as soon as I put that song out there, everybody just started phoning me and going, hey man, that's pretty cool. And what, you know, I'm not sure if it's the greatest song in the world, but what the song is it wasn't really meant for that. It wasn't really meant for the album. It wasn't really meant for, it was just meant for my family, my cousins and myself, and just kind of like, hey, do you remember this? Check the song when I wrote
sure.
it. You know, and so
yeah.
they really like it. You know what I mean? Like my cousins, all
yeah,
of
yeah.
them, they all really, they think it's the greatest song ever written because they love my grandpa. But, you know, like I said, I'm one of those guys, I don't really write country music. And I'm not that kind of writer. I'm more of a, I don't know. I write odd music like Paul McCartney stuff. I'm a huge Beatles fan, obviously. And,
right.
and that's the kind of music that I write. And so it's not really country radio friendly kind of music. And then I just wrote that song, and Steve Fox helped me out with that song a lot. Actually, he kind of put it together
nice.
For me, made me understand what I wanted to do with it. You know, so yeah, I like that
song.
Sure.
Yeah, a really cool song. Got a great message, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy it. Again, it's the title track from the latest Joe Hick CD. It's called The Game here on In the Country.
Up every night in that old wood chair I know he likes. You can smell the hookah from that old man's pipe. And all the words he'd say to me, I'd find myself drift mindlessly. He'd say to live the life you love and love the life you live. You gotta hold your head high, keep your chin up, gotta start making your own good luck. Stop living for what could be, cause it may never come. But just remember you can't go backwards. Between the lines, around the curves, there ain't no road to happiness. You gotta pave your own way. Well, that's what my grandpa said, to keep a step ahead of the game.
up through the night. Grandma said it just ain't right. Fill in their heads with fairy tales and fantasy. Three legs must have had a good bloodline. Saved old grandpa several times. He said that old dog's gone to heaven. You need to stay away from hell. You gotta hold your head high, keep your chin up. Gotta start making your own good luck. Stop living for what could be, cause it may never come. But just remember you can't go backwards. Between the lines, around the curve, there ain't no road to happiness. You gotta pave your own way. Well, that's what my grandpa said. To keep a step ahead of the game. If I'd only known he was gonna go, I would have listened to him. You gotta hold your head high, keep your chin up. Gotta start making your own good luck. Stop living for what could be, cause it may never come. But just remember you can't go backwards. Between the lines, around the curve, there ain't no road to happiness. You gotta pave your own way. Well, that's what my grandpa said, to keep a step ahead of the game. Well, that's what my grandpa said, to keep a step ahead of the game.
And that is the title track of the brand new CD from Calgary's Joe Hick. It is called The Game, written by Kelly Sitter, my guest here from the group. And by the way, you can always head to joehick.com to find out more information about the band. Joe, Kelly, congratulations on the Country Weekly. Yeah, sure that happens a few times, right?
Every day.
Yep. Congratulations to Country Weekly back in October with big old Toby Keith on the cover, an Inside North of the Border with Victoria Banks and Crystal Shawanda. And there's Joe Hick right there. Great coverage.
Yeah, that was totally the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in the States before. That's that's an American magazine, and little old Joe Hick made it in there. That's the way I like to look at it. You know what? It's funny.
Pretty cool.
I sit there and I look at all the you know, I was on the deck of my house here with my wife one day, and we're reading and we're flipping through the page, and I said, you know what's funny here, honey? I got a little tiny, you know, I live in a little town in Alberta here in Crossfield, and I got my deck in my backyard is probably 10 feet by 6 feet. It's not very big.
Right.
And it's kind of dilapidated. It needs paint. It needs to be renovated, my deck. And I'm sitting there flipping through the pages of the Country, and every page had like some big ginormous superstar going on. And then I flip it, and there's Joe Hick, and I go, hey, look it. I am definitely the poorest guy in this book right now. if these people could only see what deck I'm standing on right now, they'd go, hey, I thought country musicians are supposed to be rich millionaires. Yeah, this guy's
right.
In his book, and it's not like that, let me tell you. We can get into that, too. No, I'm just kidding.
Smoke and mirrors, right? Yeah,
it is totally smoke and mirrors. Got to sell millions of dollars before you get a new deck.
Exactly. That could be the name of the next CD or a short version of that, working on the new deck. But anyway, that was great. That was really cool, and I remember hearing about this several months ago, but I was reading up on it again. Keith Urban and meeting you guys, was it Big Valley Jamboree and the huge compliment he paid to you guys?
You know what? Again, you know, I'm looking at Keith Urban's bus, and I'm looking at my yellow school bus, and I'm thinking to myself, no, that's a joke. I don't have a yellow school bus, but
that's the part
no,
of
it was
yellow school
bus. Totally. Again, that was one of those things that it blew my mind. I was like, Keith Urban, what are you doing here? Like, get off the stage. You don't want to listen to us. Like, we're from Alberta. We're, like, in the middle of nowhere. And you know what? The guy was just – I don't know what to say. Like, when somebody that you look at and say, okay, here's a guy that's doing what you dreamed of doing your entire life, and he's achieved everything and more of everything you think of, and it's exactly that too, you know what I mean? And the guy just got up onto the stage after our second song, and he stood there, and I didn't even know he was there the entire show, which I'm really glad I didn't know, because then I would have either overperformed, oversang everything, and then it would have just been, and he probably would have left. the real reason is my brother's guitar playing. I can tell that, you know, Keith Urban was sitting on his bus right behind the stage at Big Valley there, and when you hear my brother play guitar for the first time, you go, that guy, what, that's not country music, and you think to yourself, okay, but it seems to work for whatever reason we're doing. It seems to work for our material, and I swear to God, the guy must have been sitting on his bus, and all of a sudden Ken pulled out one of his Eddie Van Halen guitar solos, and Keith Urban's probably sitting on his bus going, what are those guys thinking? What are they thinking? I got to go see this. And sure enough, the guy gets out of his bus, comes and stands there and watches us, and he was really taken back by my brother, because he was really interested in knowing, you know, and not in so many words, but thinking to himself, you know, why do you, buddy, like, you're doing what every guitar player wants to do, and you're just doing it, and you're not worried about what anybody out there thinks, or what I think, or what anybody thinks. And then, and of course, the whole family thing, and you know, Keith Urban was a long way from home there, so I think also he was really interested in Kenny and myself, because he wanted to know about the brother thing, and how long we've been playing together, and I think maybe he might have needed a little touch of home or something, and see how, you know, the family thing gets along. I don't think his wife is with him, and his daughter, and you know, I'm sure his buddies were there, but it's nice to have family anywhere you go, and I think people look at us and Kenny and I and go, you know what, they are, you know, we've been playing together for so long, and I think he really liked it. Not to mention that you know, I think he enjoyed our show, and when we were done, he was very gracious and very, you know, just had nothing but nice things to say about all of us. And I actually tried to leave. I, you know, people started gathering around us, and I said to Keith, and I said, you know what, I'm going to get out of here, because the stairway was starting to get packed full of people, and you could tell that he was going to be about an hour getting off the stage if we didn't break this up quickly. And I said, I looked at him and said, hey, you know what, I'm going to get out of here. It was a pleasure to meet you. You know, thanks for listening. See you later. And just as, you know, he shakes my hand, he's got this kind of perplexed look on his face, and I turn around to go down the stairs, and he grabs me by my shirt, and he pulls me back and says, so tell me a little bit more about your band. And I'm like, what, you want to know more? Okay, so
wow.
the guy wanted to talk to us, and you know, of course I wanted to talk to him, but when you talk to somebody like that's big like that, you really, I tell you, so that was, you know, next to, okay, so that was the coolest thing that's ever happened to me, other than the magazine thing. Mind you, doing videos and stuff like that for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, is there a third coolest thing, or is there somebody out there, an artist like a Keith Urban that you haven't met yet that would be a really cool experience? Somebody that's on your wish list?
Oh man, there's only one guy really that I would trade everything in to meet, or just have 5 minutes of his time. Just give me one. Hum me one melody. I don't care if it's good or bad. Just hum me something, and that would be Paul McCartney. If he could just give me 2 minutes and just walk past me humming something in his head, something that I can remember and take home and write a song around, that would be the moment for me, for sure. No doubt.
Do you have a favorite Paul McCartney song, favorite one to sing or to listen to?
You know what? I don't sing any Paul McCartney. I don't sing any Beatles songs. I'm just not that talented. I don't like to do things that I just can't do. And you know, I can hack my way through Beatles songs, but I would never actually. Probably, it would have to be my all-time favorite Paul McCartney song is definitely that "Someone's Knocking on the Door." You know that one? I love that song. And I seen Murray Pulver from Doc Walker do that song with the I don't know the bass player or the drummer's name in that band, but a couple of three years ago at the CCMA's Doc Walker band, not Chris and Dave, but just Murray and the two other guys, they got up at a CCMA party, and they played I absolutely love Doc Walker. Like, these guys are so talented. Great, and just like just the greatest group of guys and musicians. They did "Someone's Knocking on the Door" by Paul McCartney, and I stood there, and just that's when I really, truly became a Doc Walker fan. You know, I've always liked Dave and Chris. I've known those guys since the early 90s. They've been together for so long, but I didn't know the other three guys. And when first he does "Someone's Knocking on the Door," and then he does "Strawberry Fields Forever," and I was just like, holy crap, nobody does that. Nobody does that. And not only did they do it, but he nailed it. And they nailed it. And I was just like, okay, Doc Walker, my new favorite band. And I haven't looked back. They are my new favorite band in Canada. I bow down to those guys for sure.
Very cool, yeah. They've had great songs and have done so well, as you said, been around for a while and then hitting the charts and just doing amazing. What about, from this album, actually, from the game, of your brand new CD, of course, the groups, do you have a favorite on here that you sort of think showcases the band the best?
You know what song? I don't know if I have a favorite. I definitely have a song that the band plays the best, and I think "Hippie Girl" is the one that we play the best, and I think it's my favorite one too. That's one of those songs where, you know, my old band, I have some buddies that I started Joe Hick with about 6 years ago or 5 years ago. I call it Joe Hick One, and that was like my best friend was on drums, Neil on guitar, and Ron and Jerry were in the band, and we were called Joe Hick. And those guys, you know, I always give my songs. I actually go to those guys before I even go to the guys in Joe Hick first, because they're way more honest with me than my own band. But I'll phone up my old drummer and I'll say, hey, I just wrote this song. Let me play it for you over the phone. And they haven't been in the band in years. And I'll play it over the phone. And Jerry, the drummer, they're actually called Kicks In. They're still together, which is cool too. I'll play the song over the phone to him, and he'll, you know, they'll go, nah, yeah, nah, no, yes. And so I gave them the new CD, and I gave them the songs, and the guitar player, Neil, first thing he says is, what's it, that atrocious Hippie Girl song? And he's just like going, what's it, atrocious? And I'm like, you don't like it? And I'm like, that's my favorite song. And he goes, that's terrible. So, you know, then the next day, Jerry calls me, the drummer. He's like, oh, man, that Hippie Girl's just the greatest song I've ever heard. And I'm like, you like it, right on. And then so that song is so 50-50 between people. You either love it or you don't like it. There's no in-between. That's okay. There's none of that. I haven't heard any of that. It's either I love that song or I can't stand that song. And that's got lots of Beatles tinge to it, that one. It has that sitar, that George Harrison sitar in it. I love that song. I think I'm going to go with that to be my favorite song on the album, for sure.
Okay, that's a cool tune, and there's a video of you guys at KX96 doing a live version, which is really cool. Doing it acoustically, acoustically, exactly. Very cool version.
Sure. Yeah, I like
great
it. Sure.
Yeah, that's a great song. Let's turn to the latest single from the CD, the brand new one, "With a Smile Like That." We touched on it a bit before, but is there anything you wanted to add more about the song? Like, have you had some reaction when you played it live, and what people are saying about it?
That song is loved by all. I think that it's one of those songs where it's the, you know, slow songs for a new band. Releasing slow songs into the radio for a new band, it's just like, you know, don't do that. And people don't want you to do that. Radio doesn't want it. Keith Urban, you know, the guy can release a slow song and it's going to go.
Sure.
You know, Tim McGraw and Brooks and Dunn and all these big guys, they're allowed to release slow songs. Kenny Chesney. These are the people that can release it. If you don't have an undisputed number one slow song like "Amazed," for instance, right? If you haven't wrote a song that is that good, and you're kind of just a band like Joe Hick starting off and trying to get a fan base, you are definitely going to fail on that slow song. And that's kind of one thing that I've talked to my people. But because we all love that song so much, and we just went with it anyway. It's one of those things. We went with it anyway. We don't really care what anybody thinks. We're just going to release it because we love it. And you know what? I've never had one bad response to that song. And it's got such great lyrics in it. And the minute that's a Troy Kokel. Troy Kokel wrote that song, and he wrote "Pickup Truck," right? Shane Ellenberg.
Exactly.
And so the guy is a great songwriter. When my brother first let me hear that song, and it was actually demoed by Steve Fox, when I first heard that, I was like, holy man, what a beautiful song. And it's got such nice lyrics. And that's what sold me on the song, other than the word smile.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, can we change it? Can we change it to pile with a pile like that? A while? So, no, I love the tune. It's risky releasing a slow song. And yeah, that's the second slow song Joe Hicks released. But you know what? I sing slow songs. I'm a slow song singer. I got to do what I do. You know, we're just doing what we're going to do, and we just hope it works. You know,
I've heard that before about up-tempo songs and how radio loves them, and whether it's you're talking about a band not as established. But to me, as a country listener, I love hearing ballads. It doesn't matter whether it's Keith Urban or it's Joe Hicks. If it's a great ballad, I want to hear. So I've never understood that something's got to be up-tempo. I mean, on the radio, you're going to have a mix of songs, so bring on the ballads. But, I mean, everybody's got, I guess, a different thinking.
Well, there's like it's almost like a rule. Canadians aren't allowed to Canadian males aren't allowed to throw out slow country songs, I guess. I can't remember the last time I've heard a big hit slow male sung Canadian. What can you name one for me quickly here? A slow Canadian male song.
I'd have to stop and think about that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not a lot going out there, but it's just, you know, I don't know if it's you, if it's me, if it's the fans. Who knows why it's not why that doesn't take off? But I tell you, as soon as Keith Urban or any American act throws out a, and there's nothing wrong because they definitely throw out some pretty nice slow songs. I think that with a smile like that is right up there with those nice slow songs, and it's got some meaning to it. You know, I guess my kind of radio is kind of slow for us, and that did pretty good. That did fairly good for Joe Hicks.
That was a cool song. Yep.
Yeah, but the lyrics.
Used to hear My Kind of Radio all the time. A really catchy song, really good song.
Yeah, that's a Gordy Sampson tune. George Kenny and Gordy Sampson wrote that, and like that's like Jesus Take the Wheel guy, right?
Right.
And so that guy's gonna write. Yeah, he's gonna write some good tunes. So thanks to him, we got that one on there, and that's obviously the biggest Joe Hicks tune we've had so far.
That's a cool one. Well, let's share this one out. It's beautiful. It takes it through sort of some stages of life, and it's just a great song. This is Joe Hicks, their latest single, With a Smile Like That, here on In the Country.
Seventeen, thought I knew it all, till I met her there in that small town school hall. Man, did I ever fall. Brought her home to meet my dad. He told her every bad joke that he had. We sat all night and laughed. We watched underneath the stars as her taillights faded off. I asked Dad what he thought, and he said, with a smile like that, you carry the world on your back. You walk through fire and come out standing. She's an angel, and she'll be there waiting to pull you through. No matter what life throws at you, you have the kind of love that lasts. With a smile like that. It was spring and the leaves were green. It played out just like a movie scene. That ring fit perfectly. Was a couple sheets to the wind. My dad got up, he started talking about all those remember whens. Laughter thundered through the room. You could see a tear or two when he said, with a smile like that, you carry the world on your back. You walk through fire and come out standing. She's an angel, and she'll be there waiting to pull you through. No matter what life
driver here, I know what he's saying. With a smile like that, you carry the world on your back. You walk through fire and come out standing. She's an angel, and she'll be there waiting to pull you through, no matter what life throws at you. You have the kind of love that lasts. You have the kind of love that lasts with a smile.
With a smile like that, brand new one from Joe Hick from their CD, The Game, and my special guest is Kelly Sitter from the group. So again, a beautiful song there. It must be pretty powerful to deliver that.
Ah, man, you know, it is. Like, I haven't heard that song in a while, actually. Like, I've sang it lots, but I haven't heard it in such a long time. But, yeah, it is a nice song, for sure.
Really?
To sing it... it's real fun to sing. It's actually real. It really, other than the word smile,
right.
The other lines in it just opens you up when you're singing it. Like, you know, lots of breath and lots of, you know, I'd really love to hear Celine Dion sing it. But who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That would
definitely take it to a whole new level. Now, what about, there's of course the show CMT Crossroads, where they take a country group and pair them up with an act or an artist from another genre. If you could choose for Joe Hick to share the stage with another band, who would come to mind? We know Paul McCartney would be a choice. Somebody else?
Okay, enough of the Paul McCartney. Well, it'd have to be a band not as good as us. Because you don't want to be the worst band up there. So let me think. What band isn't that good? No, I'm just kidding. That would be terrible. No, if I want to share, you know what? Right now, like for Canadian, it would have to be Doc Walker for sure. You know, even though they'd kick our butts up and down the stage, doesn't matter. I'd still love to do shows with them. Another one for an American act. Any genre, if my brother was talking to you right now, it would be Ozzy Osbourne. He'd want to do an Ozzy Osbourne thing. If it was my drummer talking to you, he'd want to do a Led Zeppelin thing. If it was Don, it would be, I don't know, some XM satellite band that nobody's ever heard of before, probably. And then it would just be a pleasure playing with anybody who I could just, you know, talk with for 5-10 minutes and just get some and just get their vibe from them and just see how they think, right? So anybody that's up there. I like all music, so I can't really.
For sure.
Now, Paul McCartney,
what about exactly. We'll go with Paul on that one. What about
it has to be. I'm such a hardcore Beatles fan. I've been listening to it since I was a little kid, and I just can't pull myself away from it. It's bad. It's terrible.
That's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy, and that's the music. What about a duet partner for you to sing with yourself? If either Joe Hick had a duet on there, or you were just doing it on your own, who is there a female artist out there that you would really like to sing with?
First female artist I'd like to sing with would be my daughter, for sure. Daughter Savannah, who is, like, she's 17 now, but you know, one day you everybody will hear of her, because she's definitely got what I got, but way more modern. She's fantastic. She's been singing and playing since she was, you know, 5 years old, and nobody's heard of her. And but I'm mostly pushing school on her right now, but I can't help the fact that she sits in her room and plays and sings guitar. She plays all the instruments, and she sits in her room for hours on hours singing. So first would be my daughter, for sure, Savannah. But for a star, you know, Amanda Wilkinson is so good. So I would have to say Amanda Wilkinson, because it's like hockey, right? You know, you play with Sidney Crosby and you're better. You're a better player when you play with Sidney Crosby. So if I was to sing with Amanda Wilkinson, she'd make me better, I think. So I'd have to say Amanda Wilkinson.
That's a great choice.
And Paul
McCartney. Yeah, exactly. I'm speaking with Kelly Sitter from the great band out of Calgary called Joe Hick. The brand new CD is called The Game, and I guess I guess it can be purchased, what, at joehick.com or through iTunes and local record stores?
Yeah, it's everywhere, Walmart. If you want it, it's not hard to get it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Well, Kelly, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing the songs and sharing a bit about the band and your musical influences and Paul McCartney and all the great stuff. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been real fun.
Awesome, and we look forward to doing it again down the road. All the best to Joe Hick as 2010 wraps up and we head into 2011. Once again, my guest today has been Kelly Sitter from the Calgary-based group Joe Hick. I'm Dave Wood, and that wraps up this edition. What's that?
Go Alouettes. I got a cheer for the Alouettes because Saskatchewan took out my Stampeders, so go Alouettes.
Perfect. Glad we got that in there. I'm Dave Wood, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.